It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Hello everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world to go 500 weeks with no perceptible improvement in content, logistics, or production value. I'm Tony.
And I'm Abby.
And I'm Blood Sparrow.
And I'm Jazz.
I'm the producer.
This is Azure Talon.
I'm Craig in the UK.
And this is Dave Avid.
And I'm Stu.
I'm Beth.
And I'm William, and this is episode 500!
Good show.
Oh, absolutely right. Did not work the way it was supposed to on the camera. Abby's name while I was talking. It skipped the producer completely. Like, it was weird.
Also,
hi, everybody.
On brand for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is how we start things, people. And if this is your first time listening to the show and you don't know what's happening, find out. I'm not doing that this time. This is not a place to explain how this show works.
Nope.
If we'd prepped on time, we could all in unison do the spiel. I feel like y'all are pretty close to that. But we didn't plan because that's not what we do here. So, but yes, we got all these people, including Abigail, who is William's wife, who doesn't actually listen to the podcast, except that she has to be in the same house while William's doing it, so she hears it there. And Craig from the UK, so, you know, just a stone's throw away from the EU.
So that's Dave Avid from
that's we not something. Start with Brexit.
Let's just break it in. So what's Boris Johnson doing lately in the news? David in space, I guess.
Yeah, well, and the Millennium Falcon. Is that the Falcon?
That's
is
right.
Is that the Falcon? All right.
What a piece of junk!
You know, Abrams isn't using it anymore. I got to do something with it.
Well, sure. Sure.
And Jazz is the only one who dressed up for the occasion.
Yay.
With her cute little party hat that says, "So!"
Are we on the so train?
This is episode so like of the podcast. So, like three people will actually listen to this episode, and right, one of them won't listen for about 20 weeks. So, because two people who wanted to be here aren't, and one person who didn't want to be involved, she'll listen soon, probably. So this is going to be the whole experience. So welcome everybody. Thank you for showing up and thank you for your committed listening. I'm constantly, I love and am worried for you all.
I thought this was an intervention for you guys.
It is. That's what it is. All right.
We've
That's
each why written I, letters to tell you how your podcasting hurts us.
This is tough love time. PhD here.
No, we're David. Good. Dave, we arranged it to make amends. So,
are there reparations involved?
Actually, now that you're all here, you'll find the doors quite locked. And you will have 2 hours to solve my riddles before the oxygen becomes pumped out of the room.
And if you don't believe him, watch William. He's about to die.
Does this include going to the backyard and looking for treasure buried there somewhere?
Yes.
William can't die. We haven't met yet. We haven't gone to IHOP.
That's true.
Our date.
That's true. I was gonna negotiate a alliance between Stu and William at IHOP, and it still hasn't happened yet. Mm-mm. As of COVID.
An alliance.
Let's see.
Got to sign the treaty.
A rebel alliance.
Of the 11 people here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us essentially live in the same town. And 2 others live within an hour. So yeah, this could have been a real thing if not for COVID. I mean, it still wouldn't have. I don't like getting up or putting on pants. It could have been.
You don't want to end up on the news again?
That was so weird.
He doesn't even like being in the same room as me, so.
No. She's in the bedroom.
We text each other instead.
We do. It's pretty sad.
Legit, that's a thing.
Oh, okay.
That's, yeah.
So
my wife and I went on a date last week. We went to Waterloo and went to a bunch of donut places.
Sounds like a very good date.
Yeah, it was. We came home, and then like an hour later, I was down here in my office. She was up there in her office, and we spent about 40 minutes not texting, but messaging through Google about how fun it was and everything.
Totally. We do all the time. But worse said, we don't go any place. We just text each other about what the cats in our room are doing at the moment.
I live in a 2-bedroom apartment, and when my partner Todd is visiting, I will text him.
He's visiting right now and he's naked. He's somewhere in the back there. We saw him earlier.
I told him he wasn't allowed to come into the living room without clothes on, and so he stayed in the hall.
They're good now. All right. So, as most of you should be prepared for, we need to do some introductions in which you explain what your character was on the Oddcast, which is a device purely designed to throw off the people who aren't listening and mess with their heads. But no, we should do a little explanation just so people are getting a text from Coffee. She can't make it.
Oh,
evident.
That's too bad.
Hey, I can send it to you. Let's do that. Hold on. Okay. Sparrow, tell us about yourself. You don't really have to tell your podcast thing. But
I'm Blood Sparrow. My actual name is Michelle. I met Tony on the forums for another podcast called Happy Jack's RPG Podcast. And occasionally we chat on Twitter. I play tabletop RPGs. I also help run LARP events with a company called Jackalope Live Action Productions. Most recently, we did actually about a little over a year ago, we did a Cyberpunk 2020 LARP called Cyberpunk Night City, which was officially licensed and was supposed to be part of like a cyberpunk push for Cyberpunk Red and 2077, but all that got pushed. There was a stretch where I wasn't listening because my podcast app hates me and occasionally just randomly drops podcasts. And so I just thought that y'all had stopped and didn't announce it because you don't announce things generally. And,
there's this thing called a website, right?
There's a blog, themagictalkinghead.com.
That's true. But yeah, no, I just use the podcatcher. And I live in Central Texas, and I really love Fallout and Doctor Who, which are my two primary personality traits. Because that's a personality, right? Being a fan of a thing.
I have seen her in cosplay for both.
Yeah. So yeah, and also I love Lovecraft Country. Holy cow. The end.
Out of all of that, I'm going to pull out something really weird because I want to know. Hey, here comes Mark.
Mark.
Cyberpunk Red and Cyberpunk 2077, yeah. the same
well,
setting?
Cyberpunk 77 is based off of the Cyberpunk tabletop game.
It is.
Yes. And they've been working with Michael Pondsmith, the writer of that game, for the whole development cycle.
I did not know that because I played the old Cyberpunk game.
So for those who don't know, every time Cyberpunk, as the tabletop rule set, came out with a new version, they'd like advance the timeline. And so the last time they updated the setting, it was called Cyberpunk 2020. So a new version has come out, which they're calling Cyberpunk Red, which kind of lines up with Cyberpunk 2077. Our LARP, which was called Cyberpunk Night City, was set in 2036, I think, which if you're deep into the lore means something. And it was set in Night City on, and it was a lot of fun. So if you want to see like some pictures, you can go to jackalopelarp.com and you can see some pictures, or there's also Jackalope also has an Instagram where you can see some pictures of some of the stuff we do. Mostly we're famous for doing Vampire the Masquerade LARPs, in particular a Sabbat LARP called The Night in Question, where it's, you know that scene from the first Blade movie where there's the vampire rave? We do that, including the sprayers.
Oh.
And then we burn the place down.
Nice. All right. For those of you who might be intimidated by the incredibly thorough introduction and life goals and explanation of Blood Sparrow, I don't feel that you have to go that far. It's fun to watch the screen, and I could just see certain people's eyes widening and like, how much about myself am I supposed to?
I don't get out much, so I just.
I just know a lot of the people in this, and some of these people are barely managing to be on the podcast for their social purposes. So,
like, you also born in 1972, and I don't remember much about the first 2 years. But when I was 3 years old, my sister. was way more entertaining than what I just said. So, right. If you got things to say, say it.
I'm absolutely, but don't feel that you have to do anything exciting. I'm just going by the pictures now. Stu, you are up. Yes. Welshman. Or as they say in Welsh,
hey, he's an Iowan. He's an Iowan.
He's an Iowan now.
Don't you even start with all that other stuff.
Look,
tell us about your
wooden Iowa behind me now. I know.
That's right.
Bad luck. Also, he has a producer. His wife set up his whole thing here. It's pretty awesome. Got the lighting and everything. It is great.
Yeah. No, so I'm Stu, and I'm actually Welsh, and I moved from the UK in 2008, just after the flood for all the locals. And when did we meet, Tony?
Would have been 2010, because that's when I was camping over at at security, which is where you were.
That's right, yeah. And then you moved away for a bit, and then I rejoined you over in test development.
Yes.
And
I dragged you to a couple of gaming things occasionally.
Yeah. No, that was fun. I still talk about that building where we went for that place.
Yeah, I dragged him to the freaky freaky Masonic Lodge LARP.
Yeah. I have no time for anything. So I kind of watch films vicariously through William and Tony watching them and then talking about them.
Oh, that sounds terrible. That sounds terrible. That's a terrible life you lead.
No, I just too busy working and parenting. So
he's got kids. They're more important. Yeah. Than.
He's got three of them going on during the pandemic.
Yeah.
It's insane. So
even more than usual. I mean, we work and then we get the kiddos through their virtual school. And then we doom scroll Twitter for a while, and then we go to bed and we get up and do it again.
Every once in a while, I send you a YouTube link, usually making fun of the Welsh.
Yes. but
you didn't even watch the Vectron one yet.
I didn't watch that one. That's how busy I am. I watched the other one with the pandemic, but I am a Star Wars obsessive, and Tony made me start reading other books. He chastised me for being into cyberpunk small C without really reading any cyberpunk capital C. So I read Neuromancer. I finished that the other day. That was excellent. Oh,
I just finished that like several months ago. I'd never read that before.
Yes.
Seminal classic.
Great.
I can't believe I didn't read it until now. I would have loved that as a kid, but I didn't
My frame of cyberpunk was Donnie Mnemonic and Shadowrun.
I think Shadowrun's not a bad intro. I mean, except magic. Dwarves and,
I was on Ghost in the Shell and that kind of thing. You know, all the other cyberpunk type stuff, but not the. But I'm very much looking forward to 2077. I've got the new Xbox pre-ordered, so I'm waiting for that to turn up.
He has been. He's been losing his mind since the first teaser.
I know.
Then he got me into it for like 5 minutes until I confirmed that it will only be first person. And then I'm like, well, okay. Is it? Yeah, no, that's why I was out immediately.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
I did actually watch a film last week. It was very exciting. We sat down and watched Endgame.
There we go.
Finally.
There we go. So
I might get around to watching Rise of Skywalker at some point. It's just
no hurry.
Obscenely wrong that I haven't seen a Star Wars film that's out there. True.
Set aside an entire day.
But
yeah, I mean, that's you can take your time on that.
Yeah,
well, I have all the books, so that's kind of where I am with Star Wars. But
now when you say all the books, do you mean expanded universe or the crap they replaced it with?
All mine now have like legend or something across the top to say it's the old stuff that they hate and just pilfer the best bits from.
Does it have to say legend now because it's just made up?
If you go to fandom, they now call it legends, like when you look at the entries,
which is weird. They have cherry-picked bits from it, but I'm not as up on the new stuff, but I am working my way through the Expanse as well, and I keep willing myself to catch up to the series with that, you know, the version of the book that matches the series, but I haven't got there yet. I'm still halfway through the third book. But yeah.
I really love the Expanse, and I've been meaning to do the books, so that was a good reminder.
I keep thinking I might revisit.
It's well worth it. Yeah. It's, I read the book, and I just hear their voices, and it's just... It's like a director's cut. It's just more of it. So it's fantastic. But so I've got the first seven in my pile of shame to read to get through. Staring at me. So that's Stu.
It's Stu.
Yay.
And if those of you are like, he says he's Welsh, but he absolutely sounds like he's from like a southern suburb of London.
No. Yeah.
The only explanation for that is he spent some time living in Scotland.
Yes, I did.
So
very Scotland.
Basically, his accent lobe is broken.
So
authority, when he gets sleepy or drunk, he gets kind of.
I was just about to say, if you get me drunk or sleepy, or if I'm talking to my dad on WhatsApp on the weekend, then Shan's in the background going, "Oh, he's so." And the boyo comes out.
That's when the boyo's sleeping.
Yeah. Boyo. Oh, buddy.
The first time he said he was Welsh, I was like, that does not make any sense. And he was like, well, I spent a few years living in Scotland. I was like, that makes even less sense.
Whereabouts in Scotland?
Oh, God. It was up by...
Dobbs Bluff.
I can't remember. Oh my God, I'm getting old.
He's gonna say Loch Ness.
Oh, way past Inverness. Up by John O'Groats. Thurso. Yes. Oh. Just down the road from Thurso, yeah. By the Dunray nuclear reactor.
Mm.
Good.
I've got a friend that lives in Thurso.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Craig, of course, sounds totally like somebody from Slough. But anyway. Just amusing myself. That's how you know it's a real episode. All right, Trish.
What?
Tell us about yourself.
My name is Trish. I go by the producer. I married that jerk. Actually,
I have to specify, there's two of us on the podcast.
William's very
He's
nice
jerk.
To me. I
guess Abby's not going to be allowed to say she married that jerk now. Way to go. Way to undercut her intro already.
I was thinking about it. I think I knew William before I knew you, baby. So
I think so. I mean, yeah. You were both at Applied before I was.
Yeah.
So tell us a story before you met. What was a good story that only you two know?
Who? Only Tony and I know, or me and William?
You and William.
I think I met Trish because she was teaching a class at the, isn't that right? Didn't you work there before me?
I thought you worked there before me, so clearly we don't know.
Oh, did I teach your class?
Maybe.
That's how I met you.
I am reluctant to say this because it involves a real person, but one of my favorite things when I started at Applied is that at the time there was an employee and her name was Random Hospodarsky.
Yeah, Random.
That was
yeah.
like the best name ever.
That's really good.
But now we have a person at work whose name is Sweet San Pedro, and that also is.
He's really nice. And no, and the first name is Sweet. So her name is just Sweet, which you get used to.
I agree with Blood Sparrow.
So wrong.
I'm totally blanking now.
Lovecraft Country?
Lovecraft Country is excellent. I'm looking forward to seeing the conclusion of that. What else? What else do I do? I don't know. I'm mostly trying to keep Tony out of trouble.
That's a full-time job.
Yeah.
It's more than a full-time job, and I am not always successful. So.
She tried to stop me from doing a podcast. Look what happened.
I was like, please do a podcast. That will keep you busy for a while.
There you go. There you go. All right. Kaz, you're the next little square in the thing here.
Oh, okay. I'm Jazz. I met William and Abby on a Lost Theories site.
I still can't believe that.
Yeah, I know.
Craig's and then,
have you found it?
It was purgatory the whole time, Dave.
No.
Hey, have you seen this theory?
And actually, I think one reason why Will and I started talking is because our screen names were similar. His was Prof Ozone and mine was Jazz Prof.
That's true. Whereas yours is true and his is absolute.
I'm a big phony.
And let's see, I've been out to Iowa a couple times. And Abby was here last fall, I think, to visit. And
where is here? Are you in D.C.?
I'm in Newton, Massachusetts, near Boston.
Oh, okay. Why did I think you were in D.C.?
I don't know.
I was in D.C.
Oh, knew you were in D.C.
And actually, Beth and I almost met in D.C. because one of the things I do is play taiko drum. And we were playing the Cherry Blossom Festival several years ago.
Oh, that's right.
And really cool. That was a really cool event.
Trish, I thought you knew that. Trish is obsessed with taiko drums.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Very cool. I teach at a college. I get to teach lots of things that I really like. I teach detective fiction classes and anime classes and sci-fi stuff, and right now I'm on sabbatical working on a project about Frankenstein, and actually Will has been proofing what I've been writing, which has been really helpful. And
that's awesome. It's awesome. What she's writing is so awesome.
William has things to say about Frankenstein?
Is it the Gothic related?
And my family is circus and theater folks. And also my dad was in two really, really, really bad horror movies, which I always think about whenever you guys talk about horror
still
movies.
In my queue. They're still in my queue. So I recently saw a review of one of them.
Well, you know what Peter Cushing used to say, it's okay to be in a bad movie as long as you're good in it.
Yes. Well, he was really bad in my brother does an impression of my dad because my dad had a very heavy Boston accent. And the end of one of the movies, he gets the last line when the villain dies in a garbage truck. And he gets to say, he died like the garbage he was.
Nice.
I need to see this film.
And the plot is so outrageously bad, but really funny too. Blood Feast.
Blood Feast, okay.
The villain believes himself to be the reincarnation of Ra, and he's going to try to assemble Isis from body parts of debutantes.
The Egyptian feast at the rich lady's birthday party. Yes, I did. I recently saw the trailer for this. I saw a Dark Corners review again.
They were all played by Playboy bunnies. And the blood was primarily Smucker's strawberry jam.
Kind of blood.
Hey, Jazz, tell everybody, your dad wouldn't let you have snow cones or cotton candy, right?
No. Whenever we would go someplace, well, I used to make snow cones when I worked on the carnival. And cotton candy, I made both of them. But when we would go when I was older to the circus, he would never let me eat that stuff because he said, that's for suckers.
That's just for suckers.
One of the many things I love about having Jazz as a regular listener is every once in a while we talk about some weird, crazy job or thing, and she's like, yeah, I got a cousin who used to do that. Like, all the time. She's like, oh yeah, he would set himself on fire and, you know, sell trinkets to the natives while always got stuff. Everyone in her family was just a loon. It was great.
Yes.
Right. I'm going serpentine here. So Beth, that's next. Now, earlier I saw you with a small child. And now you're hiding something under a cover. Did you shove that kid under there?
No, I have an even smaller child under there.
How many children are under there?
Just the one. Yeah, this one's very small.
Right.
Very
small. Anyway, so I'm Beth. My origin story is Tony and I temped together at ACT in the winter, spring, I would say spring of 2011. I was there February till like the end of mid-May. So it was only a couple months.
Which some people will recognize as the exact time when this podcast started.
Yes, so I got to hear about the idea of it and then it's gonna happen. And I thought that was maybe not really true. And then I thought I'd did it a little bit and here I still am listening.
I legit harassed you and Chris into listening to it at the beginning. I was like, new episode's out. You have to listen. No, this one's good. You have to listen.
Well, neither of those things are true, but.
Well, it was new and it was out.
That part was true.
So I'm not. I have seen a few of the comic book universe movies. And. I have in some Star Wars, and I'm not a gamer, but it's very interesting to get to hear William and Tony's take on a variety of things. And even if it's not parts of the culture that I'm really
interested in consuming myself. I still get to learn a little bit about it. And really, that was about as much as I wanted to know. It's fine that other people love it. Doesn't have to be for me. That's okay. But I really like your interactions, and that I guess that's why I keep coming back, is just kind of the randomness and what's going on. And
you were in episode 100.
Yeah. I was in episode 100, and I bet you thought I wasn't going to be caught up, but I am caught up. I did 499 yesterday.
I was pretty impressed. You've been coming closer, so I was suspecting. See, Mark constantly tells on himself with his long descriptions, so we always know exactly how many weeks he's behind. And I'm constantly reading them, going, I don't remember us talking about it. I have no idea. It sounds like something we would say.
I will confess that sometimes when I've had a big break between when I last listened, I don't quite remember what my last episode was. So then I go back in the comments to find out what I last listened to.
It is not a bad technique.
That's thinking.
All right. Well, everybody knows who William is, so we're skipping him. So from William to Bill, also known as Blue Claw, also known as Agitalon, also known as that jackass. How's it going?
I am the other William on the call, which is why we use Azure Talon, or I usually go by Bill. Long-time writer, first-time listener.
That would explain so much.
He just sent questions to a bunch of podcasts, and this one has
exactly. Yep. I am also one third of the Tuning Japanese podcast, where we think really too hard about anime shows. And I'm the least of the fans, so I mainly just get drunk and troll and say mean things.
That's what I do in this podcast.
Exactly. I think I may have been the first guest on the Magical Talking Hat.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, not counting the producer, I think. But you are our only, other than episode 100, on location shot.
Yes. Yep. And
we recorded that in the hospital with you.
I'm not sure how big the group of people that have seen the hat in person are.
I would say you and Beth and Mark, the producer, might be it.
But we don't talk about the hat.
Yep.
No. I mean, unless you go to the early YouTube videos and you can see video of it.
And our secret silent guest on that episode.
Yes.
I am also a happy jacker. Haven't been to the forums in forever, but I keep up on the Discord.
So many of the initial listeners were me just whining to people on the Happy Jacks forum, come listen to my podcast. It worked for a while, and I've kept three of you, so that's something.
Better than none of us.
Three best.
I fix copy machines, and that's probably the least interesting thing to talk about, so we're going to move on. I am a huge fan of horror, of Transformers. I collect and refurb vintage action figures and whatever strange Japanese toy I can find. That's about it.
All right, there may be some delay due to the distance. Here's Craig, all the way from shiny UK.
Shiny, wet, and dark UK at the moment, given it's currently 9:30 here.
Oh, goodness.
The time difference. I'm Craig. I'm another Happy Jack person that Tony collared in, and then Stockholm Syndrome got the better of me.
That's our plan.
So, randomly, this podcast is now the second longest that I've been listening to of all the podcasts. Wow. After Happy Jacks.
Who's beating us out? I'll kill them.
I'm a massive gamer as well. I play games, write games, sometimes publish them. I'm a research scientist in my day job. which mostly means I sit at a computer and analyze data and look at spreadsheets. Currently based in Liverpool, and I'm not from Slough.
Oh, but you moved again. I didn't know you moved again.
I've moved many times since Slough, and I currently have an unhappy cat attacking me.
And this is me, so I'm just going to do this. I hope it's true. Still married?
Yes.
Okay, good. I knew there was a slim chance, and I was like, I shouldn't do that, but I'm like, forget. So she moves around with you.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm currently based outside Liverpool at the moment.
Why?
Where are you from if you're not from Slough?
Even so, I wouldn't say that.
I mean, where else is there in all of England besides Slough? I mean, we over here in the United States, we know where the office was. That's what we know.
So it's like how suddenly everyone knows Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Well, that and Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm from near Scranton. That's what I tell people.
I'm from Southern California, and I try to tell people where I'm from, and they just look at me like I have eyes on stocks. So I go, Disneyland. I'm from Disneyland. Yeah.
My French teacher said we should tell people I'm from near Chicago. That's what my French teacher said I should tell people. They won't know where Iowa is what she said.
How does that sound in French, William?
Near Chicago?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something.
Not a very good teacher.
Something Chicago.
He knows half of it. He knows half of it.
No, but right. Craig, seriously, where is it you're from?
So I grew up in Somerset, which is the southwest. So if you know where Bristol is, but my family's from Glasgow. So
I was going to say, you're not actually from Scotland?
My family on both sides are from Scotland. Oh, and I lived in Glasgow for a while.
You're from Somerset? Oh, wow.
So we grew up near each other.
So were you South Wales then?
South Wales, yeah. Yeah. Near Cardiff.
Okay.
Which is what neither of you have accents that make sense.
We found the Doctor Who reference.
Yes.
Cardiff. If you want a Torchwood reference, my great great grandmother was from Merthyr.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I worked up.
Did she know Jack Harkness?
No, but she might have had members of her family that worked in the warehouse from the episode called Meat. Because that's the episode that mentions Merthyr. Imagine my delight.
That's interesting. I remember that episode. That one might have been one of the last ones we watched. Yeah. All right. Well, now we've stepped all over Craig's introduction of it.
Sorry, Craig. It's my fault.
That's not a problem.
My fault.
You're so exotic, Craig. We just can't take it.
Am I the only international listener remaining?
You are. We had Steve from
Serbia,
I think, for quite a few years, but eventually he bailed. And that was... I don't know that we've ever had another international listener. I think it might have just been you two. Well, I think we might have had some Canadians, but I mean, who counts Canadians?
I think there was a time where I was abroad and I went like logged on, so it looked like you had a listener somewhere else.
That could have done it. That could have done it. I think one time I posted the podcast from.
Craig, is it okay if we keep talking about you like you're from Slough?
Does it matter what I answer?
No, it matters to me, but it probably doesn't. Yeah, it probably doesn't matter to Tony, but it matters to me.
And that's the thing. I do what I want, but at least have plausible deniability by not asking them. Then you say it, and now I'm like, okay, now I'm really the jackass. It specifically was told. No, but Liverpool. So Liverpool, Lancashire?
No.
Damn it. I need to start consulting a map because I base this entirely on the accents of different comedians. So like you said Somerset, and I'm like, Bob Mortimer? And see, and you say Liverpool, and I'm like, Johnny Vegas? I'm like, no, that's not right.
Well, here's the real question. Which football team?
Wickham Wanderers.
Yeah, because that does a lot for me. I know Man United, and I know Arsenal, because there's a couple of comedians that are just obsessed with those. I guess Aston Villa, but that's it. All right, Dave, you're up. Tell us something.
Hi. Well, my secret was that... Hang on. basically...
That you can pop the top of your head off.
I don't really have a top of my head. That's why I'm here on the podcast getting out. Yeah, I live in Iowa, somewhere in Iowa, Eastern Iowa, I think, and married. And I met Tony some years ago at a GammaCon gaming convention. And I was going to be running the game Bulldogs, which was a Fate game. And he told me about this podcast, and I went and checked it out at some point after that, and I've been hooked. I'm seeking a 12-step program still for that.
I didn't even know you listened for a while.
Yeah.
We got together for a gaming thing, and I was telling you stuff, and you stopped me. You're like, yeah, I listened to the hat. I know all this already.
Like, what? Well, you know, when someone tells me that their significant dream in life is a certain project, I want to at least check it out so I can better know them. And then later that commission, Tony and some other people play tested a game that I'm still working on. And that's going very well. So game designer. I also, in my day job, I'm a teacher at Kirkwood. I'm an entrepreneurial coach at Iowa. I teach design. And fan of things Japanese. My wife and I went to Japan in 2012, the year after the tsunami incident. And I studied a bunch of things about Japan, most of which I've forgotten. The language, the culture, the art, the literature and translation. And let's see, what else? Star Wars fan. I don't have very many of the books. I'm mostly a movie TV watcher, so The Mandalorian. I've really enjoyed that. So much so I made a hack of Monster of the Week called Bounty of the Week. I've run, a lot of people really enjoy, and other people have been making it better too. So that's out there in the internet. And then Lovecraft Country. So I think I have to catch up to this last weekend, and then I'll be all set for whatever happens next.
Got two more episodes, right? I think it was 10 total.
I think you're right, yeah.
Which is good. So it'll end just before Trish leaves. It would suck if we had to wait till she got back to finish it.
Yep.
Is that the baby, or is it somebody else just fart?
The baby didn't fart. He's making a little bit of noise with his mouth, but it's
yes. But if anyone else was doing it, probably would have been a fart. I knew that was what it would be as a baby sound, but nobody else is sitting there going.
another thing that I'm involved with is this thing called Corridor Games on Demand, which is based on Games on Demand, which was started by people in Columbus, Ohio, and other areas. And it's a group of gaming, and we invited people, and William and Abby showed up, and then eventually Mark showed up and others. Can't get Tony to show up very often because he's really super, super busy watching horror movies.
And
yeah, I know. But we're doing that online now sporadically. So if you do want to participate, you don't have to worry about pants. And anyone is welcome to join and participate too. The other thing that's going on is that I'm involved with a gaming co-op, and we're still trying to get an S-Corp status based out of Massachusetts. And we're working to publish, probably not in print right away because of money, publish an anthology of stories based off of the soft apocalypse theme, which I had never heard of before. So that's in the works behind the scenes, along with everything else going on over here.
Soft apocalypse, what we're living in right now?
I would not call this a soft apocalypse.
I would, not very soft.
I would call this. I would call this hard? More of a dystopia.
Hard-boiled?
Yeah.
I mean, like within a week or two, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens after the election, assuming that even happens. Mm. Yeah.
Let's just say David is my GM spirit animal. I have a little. Whenever I'm GMing, I have a little bracelet that says WWDD. Because David what can yes Daredevil and like. Do? What would Daredevil? Yeah, third fell off, and I was like, "Well, what am I gonna do now?" So I switched it to David. Yeah, you should see the games I GM based on what Daredevil would do. It was a lot of lawyering and mind fighting. It was bad. No, and yeah, David is the preeminent expert on indie games, both playing them and creating them. So
I think I was at that was the GammaCon that we met in person at.
You do it every year at GammaCon. I think you have an Icon one too. You do.
I'm not doing Icon, but I think some of the other people in our group are doing Icon online this year. GammaCon is still deciding if they're going to do an online one for sure.
And if you ever made it to CorridorCon, well, that's also him.
Yeah, I haven't made it to. It was
pretty sure you guys have met. Yeah,
probably.
I remember the Bulldog's name of Fate because I wanted to play a Fate game. I think it was Full or something.
That one was really good, and then the Dark Well one or whatever that's the one you got to keep going, which was on Fate, and now it was on PDQ. Is it still on PDQ?
Now it's in my own system. That's super simple. More conspiracy, less calories. It's really weird because my typical gaming milieu is dark and gritty, and you know I keep coming up with these game ideas, and then the real world starts showing them to me in my face, and I'm like, you know, this isn't really fun anymore. So all these conspiracy theories going around, just like, well, I guess it'll be easier for people to come up with conspiracies for my game, but it'll be too sad because it'll be too real.
Well, it doesn't count.
100% feel that.
Keeps mimicking more games. Maybe start going happier games.
Yeah.
Fix reality for the rest of us.
I'm not a happy game designer.
Let's play more laser ponies.
There we go. Lasers and totally. We'll do that.
You're feeling too. We could do that one.
Yeah. Let's play the She-Ra game when it comes out.
Do you think that? Dave, do you think the CIA is getting its ideas from your games? I mean, are they spying on your games and they're like, oh, hey, Dave had a great idea during his game. Let's try that out.
I would explain. That's a little meta. So much.
I like that where you're going there, but now I have to reevaluate my life choices. Thank you.
What does it mean that only my picture is frozen? Normally, when I freeze up, you all freeze and I can still see me. You are all still moving around, but I was frozen.
You're fine.
Let's come back now, but I was stuck like this for a really long time.
We just thought that was your face, Tony.
I get that a lot. Yeah. Speaking of just
that face,
just thinking that was my face, we have Hard Hat number one, the original obsessive listener.
He's an imperial bastard right now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I get to keep actually, the
he's
one
an
title
imperial. Cause... bastard all the time, David.
or he hijacked a destroyer, you know.
Origin story. I worked with William and Tony and the producer back in the day at Applied Systems, doing originally it was help desk and then software testing. And then they kindly closed our office on us.
You should have known, though, the rat fled the sinking ship a little bit earlier. William. William's the rat, is what I'm
talking about. Oh, I'm the rat. Okay.
You're a rat. You left before it all went to hell and they closed.
I still work in IT these days. I'm a database administrator. I do Star Wars, all kinds of science fiction. Probably favorite author in that genre right now would be John Scalzi. Do a lot of fantasy reading. Patrick Rothfuss would be a favorite in that genre. Watch a lot of anime. seen all of the current crop of Marvel films and all the Star Wars ones that are out. Play a lot of video games. I don't have kids. It makes things a little easier to, you know, work in the...
No kids. Much easier.
Play a lot of RPGs. So, you know, I show up for David's games when I can. Actually have a couple of other groups that I'm in that play tabletop RPGs.
And we still have to finish the game you were running for us.
Yeah.
This is not guilt trip time.
I've thought about that. The
hyperspace
trick
guilt trip.
The trick is with the betrayals mechanic that are built into that. I don't know how well it would work remotely when I have a player in my own house and only one webcam.
That's fine. We can talk about this later.
So
the ultimate betrayal is to not finish the game.
I know. We have like one more session.
No, I just mean I feel like that's right in the vibe.
So I'm trying to imagine what kind of games Mark runs, or his dark and gritty as well.
No, we have kind of a happy dystopian world. Right? What is it called? What's the name of it?
It's Uprising. It's a Fate variant called Uprising. I backed the Kickstarter back in the day, as I recall.
Yeah, we're so close to pulling a coup.
Yeah. Yeah, your little rebellion is just about ready to take off.
Did this start life as a board game?
It is based on coup and...
And the sequel to it that was called Resistance or whatever. And
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep. I did not know they made this, because I love those games.
Yeah, I don't have the book handy.
Was it a Kickstarter exclusive, or can you still get it?
You can still get it. They did the Kickstarter to like launch it, and then Fate publishes it regularly, I believe.
So. Yeah, it's a pretty good game if this is the kind of game. We have a very wacky cast. So it might not
be. But what kind of characters are they playing?
So I think the game is intended to be dark and dystopian and gritty, and our characters are just insane, so it's not.
That's fair.
That's the best way to run them.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say other than apologize for being late. I was painting our bathroom, finally.
No, you were hunting down rebel scum.
Well, yeah, painting with the left hand. With the right hand, I was painting the bathroom.
That man is playing Galaga.
No, it all fits. If this had worked right, it would not be the proper podcast. And a contributor to just a shocking amount of questions, such that I'm pretty sure there was about a month and a half where it was just the let's answer things Coffee wants to know show. It's Coffee!
Coffee! Where'd she go?
It's so awesome to see your faces. Oh my goodness. Okay, my origin story with Tony is I started at ACT in July 1, 2013. He, within the hour of me walking in the building, said, "You have to listen to my podcast."
That is Tony. Like, I walked to the table and he's like, "Hi, are you here for this game?" He's like, "I have this podcast."
And there's a little bit of a lie there. It was the second time. It was within the hour of the second time she came in, because we interviewed her first. Oh, William, is that your ride?
Gotta go.
It's a fire truck, so it's just somebody's house is burning. All right, go ahead.
Righto. Yes, and since then I've listened to every episode of The Hat Friday morning at work using work electronica. So I listen to it. It's my best friend during the week. I wake up Friday morning looking forward to my hat friend. So yeah, I
used to chat about it, but she'd have to be like, "I'm not finished yet. Be quiet."
Yeah, I'm not a gamer. I like to watch. I do like the Marvel films. I do prefer the DC universe, like Williams. And I have a real thing for Frankenstein and anything that's related to a Frankenstein type story.
Yeah.
I love hearing Williams take on anything of that idea. I'm still at ACT, miraculously.
You're one of the six left.
Yeah. I sew face masks. I sew cow fly masks. If anyone's interested in that. And I also sew garments with hopes of making my own wardrobe that's rather post-apocalyptic kind of looking, with like grays and browns and everything torn, but still held together with something. And I really like coffee.
She has a great tailored seamstress. I don't know what you call it. We have a short list of ultimate cosplay outfits she's going to make for me.
Yes.
That'll never happen.
You know, I'm ready. Got space now.
White suit for me to play Kingpin. the Sailor Pluto uniform, and Ursula from Lord of the Rings, from Little Mermaid, I think, the top three. Yes,
very cool. Nice.
I offer a hard time
coming up with cosplay that I could actually do.
So. Yeah, Frankenstein is my favorite gothic novel.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
More Frankenstein fanship than I realized.
Yeah.
Don't forget Abby.
I just wanted to say, though, that I've discovered over the years that there are two types of listeners to the podcast. People who do it because I badgered them into it, and people who find William's take on things very interesting. The two types.
A little from column A, a little from column B.
Wait, there's a third category. There's a third category there. Me.
Yeah, and Brian, who listens. Yeah. I do not make him listen, but he listens to every one of the
same things. So.
Interpretations of bad movies.
Yeah. So, fun fact, we've talked about her for years now, William's wife, but little do you know, actually a computer program that we bought him just to keep him busy. That's why there's no camera here. So this is Abby. Hi, Abby.
Hi, Abby.
Hello. Hi. I am following all these interesting people, and I just don't know if I can live up to all of that. I'm still married to the nice one, the rat.
To the nice one.
Nice one, the rat. That might be the episode title right there.
Origin story, I mean, doesn't everything come from applied systems?
It really does.
And for a hot second there, I was actually, the producer was my boss.
True.
So I'm very privileged. It was quite the time, and then the center closed.
Abby famously taught me how to test software that I quickly grew to hate doing. Not because of Abby. She taught me, and I was like, this is bullshit. Because you're never done. You're never done.
Never.
Like, you have this amount of time, and if there's more problems, too bad. Hate it.
The funny thing is, to this day, people will say to me, they're like, oh, well, could Tony help out? Like, because, you know, he's smart, and he understands systems, and they're like, yeah, you know, can you get Tony to help out? I'm like, no. He tried it once and he said he'd never do it again.
I will say, I think Abby instilled that in me, because Abby was also the queen of, but I could do more here. And they're like, no, we don't have time. Look, but it's not fixed yet. It's still broken.
And I channeled that.
This explains why she married me.
No deadline. She can just keep working on you. Just keep drilling down.
No. We wanted to channel this into video games a little bit, but also it is the season for the horror films, right? I prefer the supernatural horror, Korean horror flicks, and grade B movie horror flicks that are bad enough to make me laugh. So, Jazz, I'm really interested. You're gonna have to tell me how to watch that.
It's on Amazon. It's on Amazon. I think it might be free with Prime.
Oh, there we go.
If not, it costs what, a buck maybe? I mean, they can't be charging a lot for that.
Doesn't he?
One of those like hand drawn covers, so you know.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's Blood Feast and then Color Me Blood Red, which has pretty much my entire family play the extras in the art gallery scene. My grandmother is in that wearing this long purple sparkly dress.
But you were never in.
I love this.
I was not in it. I did get to hold the chicken blood on the set for that they poured over some of the bodies.
Wow. Did you get a credit as the blood wrangler?
That's awesome. Did your parents go to meet with your teachers and talk about your homework or anything?
I mean, with apologies to Abby, welcome to episode 500. I did get to hold the chicken blood. I mean, you can't top that. I just don't think.
You really can't. Mm-hmm. No, that's about it. I mean, I like a lot of the stuff that all you guys like. I don't have much time to read, but I am into the comic book films also, but I watch anything that William watches too. So.
Wonder Woman 1984. What do you think about it?
I want to see it so bad.
I really do.
It couldn't be out.
Can't. Oh, sorry. You mean the new one? I thought you meant the actual 1980s one that they made for TV. I really want to see that one. I can't find it.
It was great. It was great. Six-year-old me thought it was great.
Yeah, I really want to see that one.
It was a blonde chick, though, wasn't it?
It was a blonde chick, and she had no superpowers or anything. It was technically based off of the time period in the Wonder Woman comic where she lost her superpowers and just did a lot of kung fu for some reason. So it was that.
Because it was in the '80s.
And it had Ricardo Montalban.
Like the knee dress you wore all the time instead of like the outfit.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I saw a thing for it recently. I'm like, this exists, but I can't find it. So I was just working it out. So everybody here, is connected through Applied, ACT, Happy Jacks, and then there's David and Jazz.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep.
So we each brought one from somewhere else, and the rest are all just
through all. But we found out that there are other connections today.
Quite a bit. Yes.
Special story that we have.
This is what I've learned. This is the lesson I take from this episode of Oddcast. Mm-hmm. The lesson is everybody who listens to the Magical Talking Hat is smarter and more interesting than the hosts. How did that happen?
I mean, to be fair, it would have been hard to not happen that way.
Yeah, right. Low bar, but still. At
the point that you figure out how podcasts work to listen to them, like you're already right up there.
Yeah.
Well, it's been comfortably over an hour, so shall we draw something out of the hat?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Probably from one of you guys, so you may get to explain in better detail what you meant by it. So.
Which means now we can ridicule you to your face.
That's right.
Oh.
Right. It's going to be one of my terrible questions, probably.
Hopefully.
No. It's one of your rare serious questions.
Oh,
so ooh. This could become a very special episode. hosts, right there, you already know. He's not screwing around. What's the last time you realized something that made you happy no longer does?
Wow.
From Azure Talent.
Oh.
Is this only for William and Tony?
No. It is a standing tradition when you have guests on the show, they also answer. So we got about an hour and a half more of this just getting all your answers in, I figure. So.
Clearly, I was going through something.
I feel like 2020 is the perfect time to answer this question. So. Mm.
Uh, Democracy.
Oh, he stole my answer.
I mean, yeah. Save it for the end. Oy. This is a tough one for me. Because most stuff that makes me happy, like, still makes me happy. I mean, I get the things, a lot of the, I watch something or listen to something that hasn't aged well. That's a thing. But usually if there's enough nostalgia, I mean, like I was talking the other day, Lady Hawk. Lady Hawk's a mess. Lady Hawk's problematic as fuck. I still love it. Like, I wouldn't show it to preteens and tell them this is how love works. But I love it for what it is now.
He's been watching Murder, She Wrote.
I've been watching so much Murder, She Wrote. It's a mess, but I love it. Free with ads on Peacock, people. All 12 seasons. Get on it. So, Bill, you don't remember what you were talking about or what you were thinking of.
I do, actually. Because I was actually speaking with my co-host from Tuning Japanese about the current Hasbro run of Transformers. I said I'm a big Transformers fan.
Oh, yeah.
And I still am. And I found myself earlier this year just kind of Hasbro's practices of their exclusives and their... if you're Star Wars fans, Hasbro does the Star Wars figures. They probably do the same stuff. You know, earlier they put out a figure that you had to be part of. You have to have a subscription to Hasbro Plus to even get the chance to buy a figure. And it's, their practices have gotten just to be terrible. And I've just not, I am exclusively focusing on, not exclusively, I should say, but of Hasbro products, I'm not buying anything new anymore. There's a few old things I'm buying, but that's pretty much it. I just thought, you know, going to the aisle and you stand there, you look at the Transformers that are out, and I just went, nope, done.
This makes me feel so much better. I thought this was a deep, like, looking into your soul and just the things that give you joy, the mechanisms aren't working anymore, and which is a real thing, I think, that can happen.
Absolutely.
And it's not there. This is just an old man rant. This is just when I was a kid, toys were way better. I can totally get into this.
Oh, yeah.
In my day, a Star Wars figure had... No, this is way easier.
It's a little of both, because, I mean, there's not that endorphin hit is not there anymore.
When we talk to the kids next door, it always makes me crazy because, you know, in my day, you went to the store, you bought a toy. For them, it's always blind box. I'm like, what is this? It makes me nuts.
Yep. It's all of it. You know, the exclusives, you got to go to GameStop to buy this thing, and you got to go to Walmart to buy this one, and the whole thing, it's just nuts.
Well, just the charging you money. I mean, okay, I just renewed my Costco membership, but charging people money for access to buy things is bullshit.
Especially when they're limited edition things.
Yeah.
But this is the extension of the rewards programs and the Sky Miles and all that stuff, right? We can't differentiate in quality anymore, either because they're all really good or because we're too stupid to know the difference. So now it has to be, well, you'll also be our friend in this special way.
Our friend that you pay to be friends.
Stupid fast food things. You used to rip a thing off and I want a free fry or whatever. So many of them now are like, yeah, you could win this stuff if you go online and give them your info. And I'm like, that is not worth a McFlurry.
Hold on a second. Doesn't everybody pay for people to be their friend?
Well, your last check.
Tony, you told me everybody pays. That's what you told me.
I did. I also told you many times that I lie constantly.
Back in my day, it was a pull chopper on the neck to get the dog to play with you.
Oh, that Henny Youngman. Yeah, but I mean, $10 is $10.
That's what you said.
William, it's not what you think. I take your money, but I'm not your friend.
That's worse.
Oh, well. What was I going to do with $10 anyway?
I agree with Bloodsmere. It's a terrible thing. I also find it really fascinating culturally, because it's an attempt to make these little groups, these little tribes. Because, like, that is a thing. Like, being a Costco member versus not, it's a thing that I'm not a Costco member. Because people just talk about, oh, you just get them at Costco. It's like, I can't. I mean, I can bug my neighbor, but that's it.
Actually, and Instacart can get you stuff from a Costco without a membership.
I have heard there's a tricky way for that. But even now, talking with somebody the other day about somebody had to fly, and they had a terrible experience with American Airlines. And I'm like, yeah, we're Delta people. And I mean, like, we're not idiots. If there was way cheaper on United or something, we'd take that. But that is our thing. And like, we have the Sky Miles and stuff. And so in my head, like, that's our identity. And so you get a lot of that kind of stuff. And I have no idea how this ties into Hasbro's shitty toys. See, guys, it's like a real episode. No idea where we're going with this.
Hang on. I have something to add to the Hasbro malaise.
The Hasbro malaise is a close runner up, but I still think it's going to be.
Has anyone heard chicken blood? I don't know if I can beat that. Has anyone heard of this game called Dungeons & Dragons?
Totally.
Yep.
They're in their fifth edition now. Go them. And they're a subsidiary of Hasbro. And they just announced that they are planning, they've bought the rights, they're planning to make games for Power Rangers, My Little Pony, G.I. Joe, and Transformers using fifth edition AD&D.
Yeah.
D&D, not AD&D.
Yeah. I've tried both Power Rangers and Transformers games in the past. D&D is not the system I tried to crack to do that.
But who would?
I wanted My Little Pony D&D.
There's already Equestria. If you want to play a pony game, that's not official pony.
Or laser ponies.
Yeah. Cortex has the rights to do Legends of Grayskull. So you can play She-Ra, He-Man, whatever. That's on the way very soon. They did a playtest of it that was recorded and shared.
My Little Pony at least makes the most sense to be played in D&D, because at least that's just...
You have all those like mount rules and things, right?
Right. So, yeah. I mean, that makes...
Mount your friends and do all sorts
of... I was going to say, what version of this game are you guys like... But I remember when you did the Power Rangers one. We were still on the forums at that point. I remember you talking about that one.
Yep, and it was a hot mess. Didn't work.
No, I mean, I did just kickstart. I just backed the Kickstarter for the Hellboy game. It's based in Fifth Ed. Yep. I'll be honest, it's mostly for the fluff. Like, I'm never gonna run it in a Fifth Ed game. Oh, and now Dave's putting stuff in the chat, which is great in a podcast. Like, that's good radio there.
I'm going to go completely off topic, and I'm not even going to feel bad because whatever.
That's fair.
So a few years ago, 2 years ago at GammaCon, my sister and I played with Dave for the Queen. And
that was past year.
Yeah.
That was just like February. COVID.
We played
two rounds of it.
Yeah.
So, our family's played it since.
Yeah. So that's what I was going to say, is that we were doing different games over Zoom with my family, which goes from my brother's kids who are like five to my parents that are like, you know, in their 70s. And so we found a variant of For the Queen where you are helping the princess, you're trying to find her lost cat. And so we did this adventure via Zoom, and Tony will tell you it was a little bit insane, but everybody had fun.
Yeah,
so.
Like all the grown-ups were confused and the kids were shy, and the five-year-old was just fucking running with it. So I think we found the cat like three times, and then we brought in a lot of other animals and got weird. Yeah, everybody had a fun time. And yeah, and we've done For the Queen a couple times over Doom with other people, and it's
a pretty good game.
Pretty fun. Well, and anything that's For the Queen is just storytelling. It's just Here's a card with a question.
There's
answer
prompts.
It.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So it's really good in a telepresence thing because you're just talking.
Yeah, there's
as
a
as opposed
website
to having to worry about rolling dice or looking at a map or whatever.
There's actually and it comes with a set of like I don't forget like 12 different versions of queens that you can pick from or whatever.
And yeah, really cool pictures.
Their website, I don't remember the name, that has variants on this. It's the same kind of mechanic, but all sorts of themes: baseball, horror, whatever.
And princesses with cats.
Exactly. No, you should do go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and put the link there. Because you could send it to me, but I'd be too lazy to post it. So you could do it.
All right. Well, I'm happy to hear about all of these things because one of the things that occurred to me that used to make me happy and doesn't anymore is that I used to play World of Warcraft. And now I still play Hearthstone and I like Hearthstone except for having to hear or get the things that other people are saying just make me so angry that I can barely play it.
The only time I ever play any sort of multiplayer is something where like you don't have to talk to anybody and you can't hear them or anything. I'm like, then it's fine.
I refuse to play anything multiplayer online with people that I don't explicitly know.
That's generally wise.
I dipped a toe into League of Legends one time and was called the most filthy string of things I could imagine. Also somewhat contradictory. like that's not even logically an insult.
Yeah.
Chicken blood holder.
Yeah. I wish.
I only go to online multiplayer when I run out of ways to say gay.
Right?
Need some new ones. Even would get that in World of Warcraft though. I remember build chat. And it was just little kids, so they would get mad and they would just put together a string of slurs. And I'm like, first of all, not okay. Second of all, it doesn't even make sense what you just said there. Like, syntactically, that's not a sentence you just did.
The one that still gets to me is when they'd misspell lol as kek, K-E-K, because the keys are right near each other. And that still annoys me when people do it in games now.
You do it on purpose now.
Dealing with online kids. I love to death the neighbor kids. I will also go after them on all the shit they spout that they don't know what they're talking about.
Hey,
that kid does not know what a meme is. That kid does not know what a Karen is, but he will not shut up about either of them.
I saw a meme. Wait, I didn't see it. Also, it's not a meme. That's actual words that came out of his mouth.
Yes. That's what he said. And then he said somebody was a Karen and I was like, what do you think a Karen is? And he was like, just like a really stupid lady. And I was like, no, it's not. Weirdly, he kind of knew what edibles were. We were talking about that.
I think for me, when I start to realize I don't like something as much as I thought I did, when either I suddenly have to pay for it or I suddenly have to watch a lot of ads to enjoy it, and then I'm not interested anymore. So maybe I didn't like it as much as I thought I did.
That can be a very useful metric. Like, you like this? Well, do you like this with ads?
Or will you pay for it? No?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess you don't like it. I guess I don't.
Got some new ideas for our marriage now.
All right, is this workshop time?
Whoa!
I gotta admit, once again, very tempting to call the episode Marital Ads. but I think still gonna stick with I got to hold the chicken blood. Well, I mean, we've definitely taken up people too much time, and I have to cook my dinner before too long. William, I think a proper way to end this is, do you have anything you'd like to say to our listeners that have gathered here today to help us out for episode 500? Did not prep.
Oh, until
are you going to renew your vows or something?
No, this is.
He won't do it. Yeah, I gave him. Oh. I gave him. I gave him the $10 and he still won't do it.
Said it once. It was a matter such of a record. Tease. I don't know why we got to rehash this. I'm just saying it's, you know, it's out there. It's official, whatever.
Yeah. If you really felt that way, you'd just do it.
I mean, it's, what's the use?
Put a ring on it.
Yeah. No big deal. You just do it. No, seriously. When Tony and I started this, you know, he asked me to help him out with this, which I told him that was a terrible idea because he should find someone better than me to do it. But we wanted to get together. We wanted to talk, and we kind of hoped that people might be interested in hearing what we had to say. But I think even though we did that and we've been doing it for almost 10 years, I think it still always surprises us that there are people who are interested in what we have to say. And it's humbling and gratifying. And, you know, I joked before about how smart and interesting all of you are, but you really are very smart and interesting people. It's an amazing thing to know you, to have met some of you through this. And I don't think I could ever express how grateful that I am, and I'm sure Tony is also, that you guys listen and keep listening. I know we're a small group, but we really do appreciate it, and we love you guys. And I hope you'll keep listening for as long as Tony will let me pay him $10.
Don't think you're in any danger.
You can pay me forever.
I don't know. I don't know if we'll make it to the 1,000 episode or not. But I wanted to let you know that listening to you both on the Magical Talking Hat is like listening to brothers that I've never had talk about meaningless things for about an hour every week. and it is
our
really
new tagline.
it's changed my life in some way. Because I feel like I've gotten to know you both better, and it's been really great to just hear your viewpoints on things. And yeah. You know, I can argue with you and you won't say anything back to me because I'm washing dishes and it's great. But I really wanted to thank you, and I do appreciate you doing this for your friendship, and you know, we do care about you, and I'm glad to live vicariously through you with our weird questions and other things.
That's nice.
Yes.
I asked William to do this originally because William has always been the guy who will just do whatever you ask him. Like, I legit.
Yeah, you ain't
like,
have to give me 10 bucks.
William will do this. I mean, the number of projects we almost started is huge. We have got screenplays and maps and so many emails of crap we haven't done. And I'm always amazed that this one happened and that this one started. I mean, this is literally the two things in my life that I stuck with that I'm amazed about are this and my marriage. I have given up on everything else in my life. And it's really like the marriage one is like cool, but this one, it's weird that this is the other one, right? Like, this is my marriage and then this podcast. But I mean, it was at the height of
watching Trish's face. Like, it's like, I'm going to get you, Tony. I'm going to text you so hard when we're done here.
Phone's already buzzing, I can tell. No, but I mean, this came at the height of everybody is doing a podcast. So, you know, why don't we? And now I spent years talking about how it was never going to be anything. And I was secretly hoping it was going to be, you know, fame and fortune, because I was listening to a lot of them and they were all cool people in LA and I was going to be friends with them and we were going to be huge. And I was incredibly disappointed that we pretty much maxed out at 30 listeners on the first episode and then just down from there. And over the almost decade, this thing shifted around and it really became how my friendship with William manifests. And not only how that manifests and is maintained, but has deepened. And it's really dumb. This whole thing, we've spent a decade just talking and happening to record it, is super dumb. And we love it. And we don't need to be recording it and putting on the internet.
No.
But I can't imagine not
doing
it. You do have to be doing it.
Because you are all there.
Because there's all of us who would like to be there during that conversation.
It's shocking.
For one reason or another.
Aliens better find this as a testament to humanity.
it's become a thing. I mean, some of you that I didn't know, and I mean, we had to go through stuff. I mean, you know, bad news, Jazz. This is how you learn. You know, you share anything with me, it's going to come public. Jazz and I, a couple years in, had to have a thing where Jazz wrote me and was like, "You have a problem with me? Like, are you?" And I was just like, "Oh my God, no! That's just I'm a jackass, like on the show, and you provide a lot of stuff, and so I play up. No, please stick around. Like, you bring some, and it was immediate switch. I was like, oh, okay, cool, and then we were fine." But and actually, I think Abby and I had a version of that too, because you know, I my jackassery is heightened on the show to play off of William, so it's good.
I love that my version of that was William going, "Should we maybe not make fun of him so much?" You're like, "Nah, he loves it."
Yeah. Well, because you and I talked about it, and you like for no, as near as I can tell, Azure Talon was like, "I didn't think it was real, but also if it was real, I still love the hate." So, like, whatever. So, I've never really worried about Azure Talon. But I mean, the fact that there is this community now, and it's really tiny, as is obvious here, but that, yes, you guys probably feel you know me more than I feel I know you because I do all the talking. But I really do feel like I know you guys and I feel a connection to you guys. And like, we'll talk about things or you'll write in things and I'll be like, that's so them, or that's weird for them to say that and stuff, because I have this idea and it's really cool. And I still don't understand how it happened or how it works, but I love it. And would we keep doing the podcast if no one was listening? Maybe, but it wouldn't be the same thing. You guys are built into the identity of this podcast, all of you. And if you go away, it's not going to be the same thing. So please don't go away. As long as the bar to creation is as low as it is, putting forth the incredibly small amount of effort to make it happen.
If anyone listens to this podcast, like lurkers, you know, someone that never writes in, they know all of you guys almost as much as they know us. I mean, they know Coffee based on the questions she asked, and Azure Talon and Jazz.
They all hate Azure Talon.
It feeds me.
At least one or two of you, they probably think are made up. There's no way Jazz has that many cousins who are in the circus. And there are some. There are, I know, one or two listeners that are not on this podcast. Seriously, like one or two. And every once in a while, somebody, my family listens to, you know, one out of every 50 or something. They pop in every once in a while. But
yeah, so I mean, people who listen and but don't write in or comment on the thing, they know who you guys are too. And I think you guys are, you know, as important to them for the show's success than we are. So yeah, it's been great. It's, you know, in 5 months, it's going to be 10 years. And I think it's been a great thing for all of us, or for me anyway, for sure.
Still can't believe it, but yeah, no, it's.
Despite that $5,000 you've had to spend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? In early days, he said that Kraft Dinners was going to pay me back for that.
Kraft Dinners. We got that box around here somewhere. So, but. And remember when Ezzy was still little and I would try and sell her on the podcast?
Yeah.
She's an old lady now. She's a sweetie.
At the Denver
store, you're in the Denver airport.
In the Denver airport. Yep. Store there.
It is still there somewhere.
Joke about no improvement in quality, but go back and listen to the first, like one of the first 10 episodes. Those were such shit. It's amazing. This is wonderful, and I want this to keep. And I suppose it probably will, because we don't have any.
$10 is $10.
See, he makes all this joke, but every financial contribution to the show has come from, I pay for the webpage, I pay for the equipment and all that. Williams, okay, until I lost my job, I paid for it, and now Rich paid for it. And
oh, Williams, I don't even have to drive
Williams'
over
cost
there
to this anymore. Is 100% emotional. Yeah, it pays a psychic cost, which I don't want to discount, but it was entirely.
It's
we're
going
to do twice a week, but he wasn't up to it. He couldn't handle it.
It is a high emotional cost, but it still pretty much comes up to $10. That's about right.
All right. Well, better unlock the doors and let you all go.
Before we go, okay. Are we still going to IHOP sometime?
As soon as the world, it won't kill us. I mean, yeah.
The pandemic's over.
As now the fellow, I guess we call it self-employed, that William and I are.
Yes, self-employed, that's right.
Yeah. I figure he and I will probably get together on a weekly basis, like for breakfast at IHOP, and not record it. So we'll drag you along. Yeah, so you guys are going to have to be ready for that.
Awesome.
Like half of our lives you won't actually hear anymore. That's going
to
be
weird. Do I have to pay $10 as a...
Yes.
William to shuffle on.
Not if Will, not for William, but you do have to pay if I'm there. Yes.
We'll talk about it. We'll work it out somehow.
William gets so confused by numbers. It's great. All right. Well, for those of you listening, I mean, hope you enjoyed it. And now you've got a lot of faces. My brother-in-law liked putting William's
nice
face on
everybody.
It with the 100. So now we know. I knew what y'all looked like, but now the rest of you know too. So
good to see everybody for sure.
So I can tell you all looking you in the eye, but the rest of you too. Tune in next week because we'll do this crap again, but smaller. Me and William.
All right.
I already forgot what I was going to talk about this week, so I'll talk next week. All right, bye.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.